Today's scripture reading is Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, on the basis of God's mercy, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable act of worship. Do not be conformed to this age, but be transformed by the renewing of the mind, so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Amen. Good morning, church. I want to welcome you to worship this morning. My name is Taylor First. My pronouns are she and her. It's my delight to have you in worship, to join with you in worship today on this Commitment Sunday. Again, as Pastor Kathy said, if that statement, it's Commitment Sunday, strikes panic in your soul, just set that down for a minute. We'll talk about it in a minute, okay? No need to panic or feel uncomfortable. I'm glad that you're here to reorient your life today, to point toward God as we begin the week. I have been thinking about protests this week, probably stemming from the No Kings protests last week, but thinking about other protests that have been happening lately about Gaza or about immigration enforcement, protests from other times before, like the ones that happened right behind our building against the Vietnam War and for civil rights and against apartheid. I read an article by Colton Burnisall that so beautifully articulated the idea of a protest as a rehearsal for a better world, where a group gathers and together they plant a flag. I'm having trouble talking. They plant a flag in a better future. They stake their claim in the belief that something better than this, whatever this is out there. At their best, protests are signposts. They point the way to that better future for us. The writer, Margaret Wheatley, Meg Wheatley, she suggests that in a world that is, like our world, in a world that is like a raging and destructive sea, that our best option can be to create islands of sanity, places of refuge and possibility, places that restore our most human qualities like generosity and compassion and kindness, rather than attempting to fix the entire world. Perhaps our call, she suggests, is to create islands of sanity. Well, instead of an island, for the last month or so, I have been suggesting that we think of the church as a coral reef, as a place where God's imagination comes to life, a place of beauty. Boy, we got that here, didn't we? Isn't this an incredible coral reef? Such an artistic and playful piece of art. Thank you to Rachel Wright and Esme Stafford and Laura Green, who made this come to life. It really is incredible. A place of beauty, a coral reef, is a place of beauty that is, it's animated not by independence, but by interdependence, right? A place where diverse creatures are simultaneously finding a home and building a home for others. Do you know that coral reefs cover less than 1% of the ocean floor? 1%. And yet they provide shelter and food for more than 25% of all marine species. 25 times they sort of outpunch their weight. They nurture abundance beyond themselves. They provide a buffer against storms, something that prevents erosion of the coastline. Even we humans rely on reefs for food, for medicine, even some for a livelihood. I wonder if we might consider that in a world that is hell-bent on destruction, that a coral reef is like a protest, a living portrait of an alternative, better world. Among this vast darkness under the sea, a reef is this bright, teeming signpost pointing to a better future. At best, the church can be the same. Whether we are fish or protesters, I don't know, I get a little lost in all the metaphors. But we too, we gather to stake our claim in a better future. Or better yet, to be claimed by that better future. We gather to point toward a better world, to embody that better world. And I don't mean just on Sunday for worship. On Monday, we gather again. We gather in small groups to bear one another's burdens. We gather on Tuesday to ask teenagers what they think about God and the world and to help them build that web of faith. We gather on Wednesday for choir to sing songs of hope and maybe joyful protest, songs that heal us by their sheer beauty. We gather on Thursday in ESL classes where people from all over the world discover kinship with one another, and then they learn English along the way. We gather on Friday to make a sanctuary of respite and friendship with women whom the world has forgotten or chosen to ignore. Friends, the church at its best is organized love. It doesn't tell an alternative story. Rather, it lives an alternative story. A story of a God whose love is making all things new. The church lives a story of transformation, believing both that God has already made it so, and that God is playing it out right here, right now, among us. Transformation in our small, quiet, individual lives, like little guppies swimming around in the reef, but also transformation in the political, social, economic structures of our world. That is the story that we live. It reminds me of what we say about prophets, that prophets do not actually change the world. Rather, prophets declare the ways in which the world has already been changed by God. And so what Paul writes to us and to the Romans in this couple of verses that we read today is that this story is worth getting wrapped up in. He has just spent 11 chapters telling the story, laying out the good news of a loving God who will not let us go in spite of ourselves, in spite of our best efforts at times. A God who is determined to take what is broken in our lives and make it whole again. What is broken in the world, make it whole again. He spent 11 chapters walking us through that very, very systematically. And now comes the big therefore. Therefore, he says, I appeal to you. Give yourselves to it. Don't spend your life penny by penny getting sucked into what is temporary and what is fleeting and what is of this moment. Let your life be made new, which is to say, let it be grounded in what is eternal. He's saying, y'all, this is it. This is the pearl of great price. This is the most important thing, and it is worth giving your life over to it, day by day, inch by inch. It's worth waking up for it, even early. Really early some days. It's worth arranging your schedule around it, even your kids' schedule around it. It's worth leaving your job for it. It's worth committing to. This is what God is doing. And it is nothing short of transformation. And God wants you to do it too. Be transformed. The truth is that this kind of transformation, it takes something from us. It takes attention, and it takes intention. Not to transform ourselves, that's not how it works, but to partner with God in transformation, both ours and the world around us. It takes commitment. We return again and again to this place to remember that deep down we long for this. All the things that we have been talking about all for the last month, we long to be awakened to the deepest part, the spiritual parts of ourselves. Our souls long to be connected to God, to experience the depth of our belovedness. We long to be connected with others, to one another. We long to see our lives change and to become more and more aligned with the deepest truths that we believe, to actually be the people we want to be. We long to be a part of how God is changing somebody else's life, helping them to flourish too. We are hungry for all of this. So what's left? What's left is then to craft a way of life. These are Ruth Haley Barton's words, and I just love them. She suggests that what is left is to craft a way of life that opens us up to what our souls want the most. To make the day in, day out steps and commitments that will open us up to what we actually need and want the most. That is what we are doing today in these commitments. Brian McLaren says that we may not know what the near or the long-term future holds, but we can gain clarity within ourselves about how we want to show up. That's what we're doing today with these commitments. We are laying the groundwork for how we want to show up as individuals and as a church. Yes, friends, the world may be burning. It just might. But I still believe that the story is true. And in the time when everyone else wants all of your attention all of the time, I believe that when you give your attention and your intention to God, when you make a commitment with God, God shows up in transformative ways. And we haven't even seen 1% of it yet. So I pray that it would be so for you today and in the year to come. Amen.